Marvelous the visitation of the Holy Spirit in the lives of His children. From Hebrews chapter 9, if you'd like to read with me, I'm continuing this series of messages on the book of Hebrews, and three verses I want to use from this 9th chapter. Be impossible, we'd have to almost preach chapter verse by verse, but I'm just trying to bring it to you chapter by chapter. And verse 24, 26, and 28. And I shall read to you just the reverse, if you're going to read with me. First, verse number 26, because this is the way they fall in line. Then verse 24, and then verse 28. I want you to note this passage of Scripture with me this morning, because I feel it is very essential for this hour, as much so as the Apostle Paul perhaps felt when he wrote this letter to the church and gave to these Hebrew Christians the exhortation that you'll find here. I want you to notice from verse 26 now, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now, chapter 9, verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now this message this morning and this subject is clearly presented to us in a ready-made outline. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a preacher, the outline is here. It is given to you. And in these verses, I read them to you in this order. I want you to notice, first of all, verse 26 speaks of the first appearing. Verse number 24 speaks of the second appearing. Verse number 28 speaks of the third appearing. The first appearing refers to the past. The second appearing refers to the present. And the third appearing that is mentioned here refers to the future. Each of these verses here, if you'll notice it closely, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And also these verses refer to the believers, the one who is trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. And these verses also speak to us not only of these three things that I've mentioned to you already, but they speak to us of three mountains. Verse number 26 speaks to us of Mount Calvary. And if you look up Luke 23 and 33, it said, "And when they were come to Calvary," and if you will find that verse 24 speaks to us of Mount Zion. If you look up Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, "You have not come unto the mount that which not could not be touched so as by fire," and so forth. And so verse 28 speaks to us of Mount Olivet. If you look up Acts, the first chapter, verses 9 through 12, you'll find them standing on Mount Olivet and saying, as they looked into heaven and Jesus was leaving them, the angelic being stood by their side and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall also come in like manner as you have seen him go away." Now, notice with me as we consider these three appearings for a few moments separately. The first appearing, I want you to notice, verse number 26. This first appearing, it gives to you this picture. "For then must he often have suffered," notice this, "since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now notice this word "world" here. It should read "the consummation of the ages." Once in the consummation of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then it is important to notice this word here, appeared. It happens in these verses. Notice it very closely. It really means manifested. It really means that Christ has appeared at the consummation of the ages, or has been manifested at the consummation of the ages to put away the sins of the world by the sacrifice of himself. Now notice 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Get this verse that Paul is giving in conjunction with this. I want you to get it now. And without controversy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. How? By Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. Notice this. Justified in the Spirit. The sending in the answer to the prayers of Jesus. The mighty manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is sweeping across the entire world today. Many Catholics, and this man from Notre Dame, the great university, who has just received this wonderful experience of preaching across our nation with tears streaming down his cheeks and telling how he wished he could have came into this marvelous light. But Jesus is the light. And you get it, thank God, through him. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter and the 20th verse. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Couldn't be any plainer than that, could it? Yeah. Who was manifest in these last times for you. The word speaks of our Lord's pre-existence. For Bethlehem was not his beginning. He was ever one with the Father in eternity past. And you'll notice now in these statements in verse 26, there are three thoughts that I want to bring to your attention on this first appearing. The fact of his first appearing is clearly stated. Notice the words. Hath he appeared? Hath he appeared? This was prophetically anticipated fact. And there are many, many, many prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures, which we would not have time to go back and bring to you today, which pointed forward to our Lord's first coming and the first advent that he made into this world. These all were literally fulfilled when he first came. History verifies, as we stand today in this great dilemma that we're facing, history verifies the fact that Jesus actually did come. In Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Hallelujah. When that time arrived, friend, let's not be misled in these crucial days. Let's not be misled in these crucial hours in which you and I are living by a lot of this soft soap, easy come, easy go, easy away. God has one purpose. God has one plan. God has one way for you and I to obtain this wonderful salvation. And that way is by and through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. And he asked then that we renounce sin, turn our back upon it. This little namby-pamby, blow hot, blow cold, will I accept Jesus my Savior, and these kind of things. It should do something in our lives. It should make a change in our character. It should lift us up, my friend, above the norm of this world into the standards of holiness and beauty and presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ in an hour which we're living, when the world is dying for reality. Don't you try to kid me this morning that God doesn't have some people, brother, sister, that's walking before God, that's living before God, and there's a real move of the Spirit of God in their lives. I know it's a marvelous thing, isn't it, to go to a psychiatrist today and pay him $35 for 30 minutes for him to tell you that all of your faults is your father's. But my friend, it isn't so. Every man has to answer for his own self before God. Amen? And I want you to notice that if God sent forth His Son, this is a fact that is stated, and He sent Him to redeem us. And when a man is redeemed by the power of the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, if that man has any yearning or any desire to know about God, we'll take this one book and leave all of the rest of them on the shelf and begin to read and study this and quit trying to make it fit His plan or His purpose or His life, but say, God, make my life fit Your plan and Your purpose. He'll come out on top shouting glory. Thank God, and I can guarantee you as I stand here this morning that when that trumpet does sound, He'll be ready to go. I want you to notice the purpose of this first appearing. It's clearly stated. Now, once in the end of the ages, the consummation of the ages, hath He appeared. What for? What did He come for? The answer is to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And this is why the Lord Jesus came to the earth. Thank God. This is why the great purpose of His coming. He came to die and offer Himself as a sin offering in order that He might redeem you and I from sin. And in John's Gospel, the first chapter in the 29th verse, John turned around and looked and he said, I've been baptizing these people down at Jordan. He saw one come walking. And when he saw him, he turned to his congregation and said, Behold, the Lamb of God that shall take away the sins of the world. Oh, glory to God. And I feel that you and I, as a Pentecostal church, today stand on the threshold, thank God, of the same kind of situation when we need that testimony in our heart to be able to turn around and say the purpose of His first coming. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, that He might redeem us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In 1 Peter, in the first chapter, a second chapter, verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on that tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness. Thank God, by whose stripes you are healed. Glory to God, glory to God. What is our response after the fact of His first coming? It is clearly stated, my friends, He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And you say, well, who sinned? And the answer is mine. He died for me. Hallelujah. And the great apostle Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, in second chapter of Galatians, in verse 20, says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6 said that He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray, but the Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Glory to God. I'm thankful to God this morning for the provisions that He has made. Every provision that you and I need. Glory to God in sending Him to that whipping post. It's a provision for the physical body. The flesh, amen. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace and claim His promise of healing. I thank God for the provision that He made when He died upon that cross through that blood to redeem us and to blot out our sins and our transgression. Thank God for the provision that He made when He went back to the throne and said, I'll pray the Father and He'll send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. Thank God, whom the world knoweth not, but you know Him, for He shall be in you. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is here. He has come today. Hallelujah. Seeking out that bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you the question. Are you trusting Him this morning as your sin bearer? it's easy for us to point our finger at this fellow and say he's doing wrong and that one's doing wrong and the other one's doing wrong. Brother, it's a whole lot easier for us to come to the foot of the cross. Thank God and say, Lord, you take my iniquity. You take my sin. You cleanse me. Hallelujah. I want you to notice the second appearing. It said Christ has entered into heaven. Verse 24. He came for the first time to pay the penalty for sin. My sin, your sin. The second time in verse 24, Christ has entered into heaven itself. Now, look at this. Now, to appear, or now to manifest himself in the presence of God for us. John laying out on the rocky Isle of Patmos, weeping and crying, and got in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he hit about the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, and they'd carried John around through the glories and the beauties of heaven, and he saw a great book, and he said no one was able to open that book. John fell down and began to weep and cry because there wasn't anybody that could open that book. And in a few moments, John said, I felt it. Someone touched me on the shoulder and shook him a little bit and said, John. And when they got his attention, John said, I looked up and he said unto me, John, weep no more. Thank God, said, behold. And John beheld and he looked coming across, my friend, the portals of glory. One walking, he said, with blood stained garments as a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And he walked into the presence of the Ancient of Days that sits, thank God, upon the throne of his glory. And when he came, he manifested himself, sprinkled and spattered with blood and scarred and torn. But in the manifestation, he reached up and removed the book from the hand of the Ancient of Days and broke the seal thereof. And when he did, heaven fell down. Thank God, the cherubims and the seraphims, and the glory began to manifest itself in heaven, saying, worthy, thank God, art thou, hallelujah, which was, which is to come, for thou hast come and taken the book from the hand of the Ancient of Days and broke the seals thereof, hallelujah. And Jesus manifested himself in the presence of God, in the presence of the angelic beings, hallelujah, and said, if you accept this sacrifice, that every man, every woman, whosoever, will let him come, hallelujah, and I will make the atonement for his sin.
Hallelujah.
And so this holy place that's made with hands has been done away with, and in which the priest entered it once a year. But by the offering of himself, he has dealt with our sins. Is entered into heaven itself. Notice this. The fact of his appearing in heaven is clearly stated. That is where he is right now. This man, Christ Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's been down here on the earth. He's lived, he's died, he's atoned for our sins. He's been raised, he's ascended. He's now in heaven. In 1 Timothy, in the second chapter, in the fifth verse, for there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only one. Hallelujah. If I get there, if you get there, we're going to have to go that way. Oh, glory to God. I want you to notice the purpose. The purpose of his appearing in heaven. It's clearly stated. Just take these words out of verse 24. Now in heaven for us. Hallelujah. You think we sit here in this church this morning all alone with all of our burdens and all our cares and all of our sicknesses and all of our worries and all of our troubles and all of our trials and all of the... You think we're just sitting here kind of beating the air and going along and all alone? Not on your life, my friend. He is now in heaven for us. Glory to God. He knows my burden. He knows my care. He knows my heart. He knows my failing. He knows all about me. He knows what I have need of right now. He knows what your trial is. He knows what is bugging you.
Oh, friend, listen, if you could get this morning, it'd put a shout in your soul. He is now in heaven for us. Why is he there? He is there as my representative. He is there as my great high priest in Hebrews 4:14. He is there as our advocate. He is there. That means he is there as my attorney. When the devil comes up and said, look, I thought you said this guy so-and-so. He made this mistake. He failed like he did old Job. But Jesus stands there and said, Father, this man has claimed my blood. And by my blood I have blotted out his sin and his transgression. And I plead his case at the bar. Hallelujah. He's my advocate. Hallelujah. In 1 John, the second chapter, he has dealt with our sins once and for all. And now he appears in the presence of God as our risen Savior. Hallelujah. And he is there to make an atonement. Brother, for whatever your need may be, sister, you came in here discouraged and despondent from the things of this past week. Remember that there is one, thank God, into whose all hands all power has been delivered. In heaven and earth, and I believe if it's necessary, God would move heaven and earth in your behalf when you come through the name and the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because God gave the best thing that heaven had, that you and I could have this attorney, this representative, this helper at the throne. Now you can go away and paddle your canoe and be alone if you want to. But there's got somebody's walking along with me.
Hallelujah.
I got somebody representing me there. You know what it means, do you? All these unions got a representative. Somebody goes and talks for them. You get in trouble, you don't have a lawyer, they'll appoint one. Somebody to talk for you. Somebody really knows how to talk. Do you get it? Somebody knows what he's talking about. Glory to God. He's now appeared in heaven for us. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to have to quit. I want you to notice this third appearing. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I want you to notice what it means here. Oh, glory to God. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now this word here, without sin, means that when he comes the second time, it will be apart from sin altogether. For sin has already been dealt with in this first coming. He dealt with that sin. He'll not be coming to deal with sin that second time. Thank God, for once in all time, he made an offering of himself in the blood sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary to deal with sin when he comes this second time. And notice this, these words unto salvation means that when Christ comes again, he will save his people from the very presence of sin. We'll not have to put up with any more of this putrefied, vile wickedness that's in this world. We'll not have to put up any more, my friend, with any of the devil's business. Oh, glory to God. We'll not have to be walking around on guard all the time fighting Satan and we're in a warfare. But when he comes the second time without sin, brother, sin is dealt with under salvation. Glory to God. Listen, my friend. Oh, glory to God. We'll be beyond the touch and the stench and the smell of sin. There will be no sin. He's coming to the fact, my friend, that this heaven and this earth that now is going to be dissolved and done away with because it's been tainted with sin. He is going to make a brand new one. That's what he's doing now. A brand new one, hallelujah, that never has been tainted. Or even the smell or the slightest stench of sin has been there. And then he's going to lead us right into that beautiful realm. Glory to God. Unto them that look for him the second time without sin unto salvation. Glory to God. He's going to save his people. That's what this word salvation means. From the very presence of sin. I want you to notice then, that presents to us these three facts, and I close. The fact of his appearing a second time is clearly stated. You notice the words in verse 28. He shall appear the second time. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. That sin unto salvation. Over and over again, this great truth is clearly stated in the scriptures. Jesus declared his second advent. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, a new heaven and a new earth. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, I will come again. Did you get it? We read it sometimes so fast. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, the apostles have so declared it through all of the epistles, writings, my friend, verse on top of verse on top of verse. Thank God is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the book of Revelation is crammed full of this great and marvelous truth and gives unto us the most beautiful picture of that new heaven and that new earth. There's no other description that will surpass or come anyways near to the one that's given to us in the book of Revelation. So the second thing I want you to notice, the purpose of his appearing is also clearly stated. And that purpose, he is coming to take away his own from the very presence of sin unto salvation. And that will mean our glorification. Paul said, we groan within us. We groan under the burden of sin. And I would God we'd get to the place where we could groan some more. I would God we get to the place where every eye that was in this congregation would have tears coursing down their cheeks on every service for the weeping for the lost that's without God and that don't know God, has never had their eyes open. My friend, he's coming, praise God, and his purpose is to catch away bride. Hallelujah. That's the main purpose of his second coming. And what is our response to the fact and purpose of his appearing the second time? It's clearly stated. We are to look for him. That is, we're to be ready. In Matthew 24:44, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We are not only to be ready, we're to be watching for him. In Matthew 25:13, watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We are to occupy for him. Luke 19:13. And he gave unto his servants 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. We're to expect him in Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, what is he talking about? You read, my friend, when these things begin to come to pass, and every day your news media, our brother, is bringing to you the fulfillment of these things that Jesus talked about in Luke 21, when they begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads and look up. Thank God, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. We're to wait for him. In 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter and the 10th verse, it said, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And the question is today, are we so doing? Are we looking? Are we waiting? Are we watching? Are we longing? Are we ready, my friend, for his coming? Oh, thank God this morning, how wonderful he is. You know, my heart was just thrilled as I was there at Russellville and preached for them on their anniversary Sunday. The church is 54 years old. That was their 54th wedding anniversary. They've had 13 pastors, and they've had 3 Sunday school superintendents in 54 years. They've had 3 Sunday school superintendents. And when I preached that night, I seen 5 people find Jesus as their personal Savior. Thank God. And I preached over in the little church where my brothers attended, about 40 people. And one young lady, about 18 years old, made her way to that altar and wept her way through to God. And I felt that old evangelistic fire begin to burn like an old run-out racehorse. You know, and Jesus began to turn over in my soul. Thank God, though the body may be weak, but the spirit is still strong. And I want you to know, my friend, that God's still sending revival. And I want you to know that we can have one right here around these altars, even this morning. Praise God, because we don't need to know. We get all of these other current events and all of this other hoblob every day that we go down the streets of news mediums and every place else. But I want to tell you about Jesus. I want you to be in this evangelistic service tonight. I want to tell you about the touch of Jesus and what it'll do in your life and your heart and your soul. Thank God, and how to lift that burden and cause it to roll away. And John said, every man that had this hope within him purified himself. Oh, I challenge you this morning. If you get saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll begin to look for Jesus. And when you begin to look for him, you'll live for him. You'll act like him. You'll walk like him. You'll talk like him. You'll live like him, because there'll be a hope. When I first was saved, I thought he'd come before it got daylight that day. Time goes on and we drift into sin and rub shoulders with it and become accustomed to it and kind of think, well, sin isn't so bad after all. And the church that Paul wrote to in the book of Romans got this way, and he said that sin might appear exceeding sinful. It's black. It's black as hell itself. But a man that gets Christ within his heart and filled with the Spirit and has got that hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ said, he purifies himself. Oh, I love him this morning. I love him this morning. Do you love him? Put your hands up. Just love him for a little bit. Just love him for a little bit. Thank God. Just reach out to him a little bit. Glory to God. Just love him a little bit. That's all he wants. Glory to God from you. Just love him a little bit. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just love him a little bit. Thank God. Let's sing that song, brother. He touched me. He touched me. You can never be the same if you've ever really been touched. If you've ever let Jesus touch you, thank God. If the Spirit of the Lord has ever come in your heart, if the hope has died out, get back to the altar of God. If the hope is gone, the vision is gone, the ones you've seen when you first were saved, my friend, get back to the altar of God. Let God create anew and afresh by the Spirit. That hope, he's coming, my friend, is sure. He said, I've heard it all of my life. I don't care how long you've heard it. Brother, the book still declares it. And the book said that heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. You want to be touched? You want God to touch you? Get up, make your way to the altar. Praise God. Let's come to the prayer room. Stand with us all together. Everybody, let's come to the prayer room. Let's come to the altar. Let's seek God this morning. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's find Jesus. Let's find that touch. Thank God in our heart. Will you do it? Will you do it? He touched me. Made me whole. Come on, just as you are. Thank God. If you want Jesus' love, if you've been shackled by burdens of sin, if you've got the yoke of sin upon you, thank God. Come on. Let him touch you this morning. He died that you could be free. He died that you could have hope. Amen. The prayer room's open on either side of the platform. The altar space is open. Do you need a touch of Jesus? You're not a Christian. You don't know him. Maybe you do know him. But you just need that refreshing, loving touch of Jesus.